Can you believe in a finite object possessing infinite power? Or that a mineral can be proclaimed the medicine of the 21st century? Or that the power of nature can win over the ignorance of man? If you can, you will know why our mission is to get Shungite to the masses. You are entering the Shungite zone. This is the Shungite radio show produced by Cosmic Reality Radio. This is the second time that we've done a Shungite reality show as a recording. We are no longer using the 24/7 player, and right now we don't do live programming, which is easier on everybody that has to get together. And we weren't getting the response in the chat room like we would like to have. So it just became a situation where Shungite Reality now does not have a date or a time that you're going to see it on the archives and in the podcasts and on Rumble. So we hope you're found us and that you're going to stay with us. It's been a ride, but it wasn't anything that we didn't wanted to do. It was the fact that Skype was taken down. So my name is Nancy Hopkins. I'm not sure exactly when you're going to see it, but it's being recorded on the 29th of April, 2025. Derek Condon is with me, and we have Mark Joseph, and we have Kevin Smith, who is a guest that we brought on many times. So I'm going to turn it over to you, Derek, and you can say hi to everybody.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Good morning, everybody, and happy to have Kevin join us today as well. So it should be an interesting show. We were kind of joking just before the podcast as well that, you know, I've for one reason or another not made it to the podcast recording on the last couple times Kevin joined as a host or a guest. So that's kind of, we're happy that I finally made it this time. So yeah, and welcome, Mark.
Hey guys, glad to be on.
And I don't know, Mark, you maybe want to kind of take charge, or Nancy, don't you want to kind of so maybe introduce Kevin some more, or maybe talk about what he's talked about before? How did you want to really go at that? Because I don't know if you had a set exact direction.
Not really, Mark. Well, Kevin is such a story in and of himself, because he first found Shungite when, and then he won. You were doing this raffle thing in the Facebook, and he won. And so he went on a live Facebook thing to show his first experience with a Shungite honey. And he took a toothpick. That was all he had, was a toothpick. And he was, I mean, it's like one of the best, you know, endorsements of, holy crap, what is this stuff, you know? It was fun. And he came on a number of times. At that time, he was working with the Renaissance Fair. He got very much into Shungite and into using Shungite with black mirrors and stuff. And then he had a medical situation that, well, the COVID took down the Renaissance Fairs there for a while. And then he got this terrible medical situation that he tells you the specifics of it in the past shows. And it's a fascinating walk down the labyrinth of being involved with the medical people and the science that really he worked with, that was alternative in quotes, to heal himself. So Kevin, you can say anything else you'd like to say to introduce yourself, but I highly recommend, and they're up in Rumble, they're in the archives, Kevin Smith. You'll see, it's just that's why we've asked him back, because he knows so much about so many different topics. But Kevin, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you. I'm glad to be back.
Anything you
It
want
was,
to
I
add?
think, 2016 when Derek, when you had that raffle for the Shungite honey and stickers and stuff. I mean, I'd have to go and check the archives myself, but it was a good minute ago.
God, you're right. That was a long time ago, wasn't it?
So, and what Nancy's referring to about a medical situation is that because I had multiple sclerosis and I've had it since I was diagnosed in 2011, and every year I was getting 2 to 3 MRIs, and one of the things with the MRIs is you have a contrast media, and that contrast media is gadolinium, which is an old world heavy metal. And so I noticed, man, I'm feeling like crap every time I was getting an MRI scan for it was many, many years. And so I looked up a community of other MS patients with finding that they're having issues with their MRIs. And a lot of people have develops sensitivity to gadolinium toxicity. And so I had gone off of it for like 2.5 years, just speaking to the radiologist at when I was getting my individual MRIs and saying, hey, I'd like to not do that. And I noticed I didn't feel like crap as bad after a scan. And then in 2024, in the beginning of March of 2024, it just slipped my mind to say, hey, let's not do the gadolinium this time. And I got dosed with a full dose of the contrast dye. And yeah, you build up sensitivity over, decade and 3 years. So then, 18 hours later, I was unable to walk. And so the majority of 2024 and still continuing to this year, 2025, is I am rehabilitating my walking ability. I'm going to physical therapy and doing all that, along with doing the other alternative medicines that Nancy referenced earlier. So, I mean, that's just kind of a
Now, can you spell that for me? That you said Galilee. I don't even want to say it.
gadolinium. So it's GADOLINEUM.
I had zero chance of spelling that. Yeah, okay. I wanted to know exactly what you were saying so I could, research it in the background as well and look a little more into it. But do you think that maybe, I mean, just having so many MRIs and then that gadolinium being, pumped in you so many times. I mean, gosh, that couldn't have not exacerbated whatever, any kind of condition you might have had.
Right, exactly.
Oh, that's what's okay. And okay, so for the listeners as well that maybe were here for the last couple of podcasts with Kevin, I may ask some questions that have been asked previously. But so then just kind of bear with me. But what of the modalities you have tried that you, because you kind of referenced what Nancy was bringing up too, as far as, well, I'll word it this way. What detox modalities for the gadolinium have you found work best?
So I did a diatomaceous earth where I was taking I started at like an eighth of a teaspoon in some coffee, and then I built up over I built up quicker than what was recommended in the protocols just because I was paralyzed and bedbound, and like I was at that level where I had nothing else to lose. And so I worked up to several tablespoons a day with the diatomaceous earth. And then from there, I transitioned to doing the Copper Revolution protocol, which you can find on Facebook. The group is the Copper Revolution. There's a whole mess of people there and people who are experiencing wins with supplementing copper and balancing it with the other minerals. And then after that, I started in October of last year, 2024. I started doing the raw egg protocol. And I found that in another Facebook group that was related to, that there's members in common with the Copper Revolution and other groups. But so I started eating raw eggs a day. I started with four raw eggs because usually at around four raw eggs a day, you'll get a Herxheimer reaction, the healing crisis. And then it's just there's no upper limit because with raw eggs, the whites, the protocol or the proteins are not denatured. And so when people say, oh, I react poorly, I have a reaction to eggs, it's primarily that they're reacting to the denatured proteins in cooked eggs, as well as the oxidized cholesterol in the yolks. And so with raw eggs, you don't have either of those. And the cholesterol of raw egg yolk, it has a detox, function in the body, in the human body. There it is. Yeah. What is egg therapy? Yeah. You have what's called reverse cholesterol transport, where because the stomach doesn't have to churn and digest raw eggs, it gets absorbed through the stomach almost immediately. And so then you have a whole bunch of cholesterol, non-oxidized cholesterol, that goes throughout the entire body. And it starts to work as a detox, and it picks up stuff that's not supposed to be in the body, in the interstitial fluid, in the bloodstream, and everything. And it starts repairing the cellular membrane of the cells in the body. So,
Yeah, that's interesting. I didn't know that about raw eggs and or raw egg therapies. And that's what I brought up there, as you can see, is just a chat GPT on it to give us a little bit more. I'd done consuming a lot of raw eggs for a different reason, but I had great results with it too. I was doing it for the protein. It was back in my 20s when I was a lot more physically active and things like that. So I wasn't even that aware that it had such good benefits, like the chelation, that stuff that you're talking about, how you were using it for.
it's the most gentle chelation because over the years I've tried several different chelation therapies, EDTA and whatnot, and the raw eggs is the most natural, the most nourishing, and in my experience the most effective against the gadolinium.
Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah, we actually have just got chickens at our place too, so we're gonna have our own eggs. You know what? They're shungite chickens. There's like five or six huge chunks of shungite in there. I made a little nest for them, and Nancy's been watching the evolution of that. But I think I'll probably start using their eggs and giving that a try. Yeah,
Nice.
that's a great idea. Nancy or Mark, do you guys have any questions for what we've been chatting about?
Yeah, the shungite chicken thing you're doing, what's your process for that? And then have the eggs looked or tasted different, or you just started?
Yeah, they're still chicks. I don't know how many weeks old, so they're not going to lay for another couple few months. What I did was when they were chicks, which, just I think they were literally that day they had hatched, and I went and picked them up from a person. I just sprinkled shungite powder down in the bottom and have it blended with diatomaceous earth. And that's something that's been used for a long time with animals. And there's food grade diatomaceous earth. We blend with shungite powder, and then you put that in the chicken feed. And I also put it on the bottom of the just because they were scratched around everywhere, and I wanted the shungite because I have a lot of it all around. So I put a small amount in the bottom of their pen because they're kept in a different place than a coop until they're big enough because of heat lamps and whatnot. But then also I took just large, I don't know, 3 or 4 pound chunks of shungites, like I said, 5 or 6 of them, and just kind of built a little nest around their heat lamp in there, and they all perch on it. They play king of the shungite all the time. So they love being around the shungite because they could easily just go off to another area if they wanted to. And then the eggs, yeah, they're not hatching or laying eggs yet, so but we'll see how that, and they will be, the chickens will be consuming shungite powder and DE in small amounts on their food, and it's, and on their, you put it topically on them too. Any of your farm animals or household pets, you can sprinkle the DE shungite blend on them topically for fleas, ticks, all kinds of parasites, and then a small amount on their food because it is food grade that I use for internal issues like worms in their guts and intestines. And there's a lot, there's a whole, we can do a whole podcast on that one. I'm sure Kevin knows a whole lot about it. I think you mentioned you were doing it too, at least the DE.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm a big fan of DE.
Yeah, it's good for, I've used it on my top, so topically on my head, on my feet, different things like that for different reasons. Yeah, you can get really creative with it.
Yeah, and the thing is, if you're doing it orally, because most people think when they're doing diatomaceous earth orally, it's just to go and cut up the parasites in the GI tract, the alimentary canal, and really, if you take your DE with a meal, and so your stomach acid is churned up at that point, the acid will go and convert the diatomaceous earth and the silica in the DE into orthosilicic acid. And it gets absorbed into your bloodstream and it goes to every cell in the body. And so, if you have blood parasites and things like that, then it goes and it treats the body that way. But also, silica is so necessary for the body, for the body's tissues, for skin, for collagen and like tendons and whatnot. So,
Yeah, the silica. So I used to
interesting.
harvest horsetail, the plant's horsetail.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's, it grows abundant around here. You can go to any, river, creek, whatever, where near water and on a hiking trail. For those that don't know, how would I even describe it? I guess it doesn't really look like a horsetail. I mean, kind of, sort of, but little stalked plants. I'm trying to think of that vegetable that we eat. Well, that some people eat. Oh, geez, that it resembles. But anyway, you can get the baby shoots of horsetail and, convert them or grind them down and get silica from it. You get it from DE. Is that what you were saying?
The DE has cell is,
I wasn't aware of that. Okay.
yeah, it is vast majority mineral composition is silica.
Yeah, I guess when you get down to it, okay, that makes sense. I'm seeing, jotting down notes.
Can you do me a favor and give that, you're saying put this, put the rock, the silica, I mean the DE, what did you say to put it in?
Me?
Mark, I mean Kevin.
Okay, go ahead.
So I would put it in a coffee
In your
or
coffee.
yeah, in a coffee or if it, I mean, if you eat oatmeal or some sort of meal, it's best to be done with something that's going and stimulating the production of stomach acid.
Gotcha. Thank you.
For sure.
Did I interrupt you, Derek?
Nope, not at all. I was actually in the background, so I had to unmute there. I'm sitting here typing away 100 miles an hour, going, ways to consume diatomaceous earth, blah, blah, blah. So, like always, I'm doing a bunch of research while we're chatting. No, that's great. That's interesting. I hadn't thought about that. I don't remember why I even got into that, excuse me, the DE, but probably from the chicken thing, but It'll be,
It was to get rid of the heavy metal
yeah, no, I meant
treatment.
Biden chickens, but so
Oh.
nothing new to report there. And I'll probably be using it. In fact, I know I will. The DE Shungite blend around the Shungite beehives, around the because there's lots of pests and things that will walk up. I don't have videos right now, but the beehives are sitting on some stumps, some tree stumps that we had laying around the property over there, and then in the dirt, and then up from there. But that doesn't stop all the critters from crawling up. So I'm going to make a border around the stump of DE that'll discourage a lot of pests and things. So I'm just mentioning that because that's another use, and we've been doing a lot of stuff with the Shungite beehives lately. And I don't know if you want to get into that at all, Nancy. As far as the Shungite beehives.
That's completely up to you. I say yes.
I mean, we can chat about it and then bring it back to Kevin as well. But I mean, since I brought it up, I guess we're going to do it anyway. I'll give just quick updates. So, Kevin, what we're, and I know you're well aware of the Shungite beehives, but why I'm mentioning it now is because we have a sponsorship program going on for Shungite beehives, and people have sponsored a total of three of them now. So, all three are up and running. I just started the third one. Jalissa and I did, I don't know, a couple, 2, 3 days ago, who knows? My days kind of blend together. I'm doing so much, and they're doing well. They're thriving, especially the third one we just started there. So they're starting to make their honeycomb. And I shared an image with Nancy. I'm not sure if it got online, but of a new piece or a well, it is new of Shungite honeycomb. There were no brood or honey in this piece. It just had to be removed. Where it was going to be damaged, it was just in such a spot. So anyway, I pulled it out, and it just shows how well the bees are doing because these hives were started with no frames of honeycomb or honey or anything whatsoever, and they've already got, I didn't tell you this, Nancy, but probably three full frames of honeycomb with brood, so baby bees already laid in there in the beehives. And then the issue I let Nancy know about yesterday, I think, was the first two Shungite beehives, because the third one is brand new, as I just mentioned, so they haven't been there long enough yet. And I won't get into all the specifics of this, but the bees are having some issues because of some of the farmlands around us are spraying, and I don't know what they're spraying. There's thousands of acres, so the ones right up near us, I know whose farms those are, and they're organic farms, but farm number two on the other side, wherever, we'll just say, well, that's within range of bees. Bees will go just for water alone over 7 miles.
Dang.
Oh yeah, exactly. And hopefully they don't have to. Hopefully we're all, putting up bird baths or bee baths in our, gardens or houses. I mean, you can put a thing out if you have an apartment building, just a little deck outside. You can put something out there, and insects, and they fly high. We'll go there and use that. So then we don't have them have to go 7 miles. So I'm just saying that's how far they can go. But yeah, so they've been spraying, and it's affecting the first two Shungite beehives. They're still doing fine, but I mean, it's one of those things that, the beekeepers have to, what do? I, tell the neighbor you can't do this. No, it's it. So I'm not really sure what to say on that.
Well, Derek, so a thing to help address that concern is, and I talked with you before about chlorine dioxide and whatnot, and so I think you got the two-part kit where it's sodium chlorite and hydrochloric acid. If
Exactly.
you use just the part A, the sodium chlorite, and add that to the water and just blend it in, then it'll go and affect, help the bees, and it won't be have the bad scent of activated chlorine dioxide, because you activate chlorine dioxide, it smells like a pool, and I wouldn't expect that would be enticing to bees, but it helps with the glyphosate and like nanobots. I mean, it sodium chlorite is the what's called MMS, miracle mineral supplement, and it does just amazing things for the body, and it doesn't have as bad of Herxheimer reaction like with doing activated chlorine dioxide. So.
Okay, and I'm AIing it right now, I guess I'll term it, to see about specific percentages and what not. But that's interesting. No, jot it down about part A, the sodium chloride. And I do have that exact one that you're talking about as we had chatted before. And then yeah, just I'll see how it goes on the bees. I'm definitely willing to give that a try and not done that before. Yeah, it looks like it's and I'll get up where we can share it, but that's an interesting. Get this going, and I'll show you guys what I'm looking at here. I'll give it a try on the bees. Yeah, so there's the screen I'm sharing here. Yeah, basically, he's looking for, and it says, yeah, all kinds of chalk root, other fungal pathogens, and for a lot of that, I use mushrooms, and or I've pre-treated the inside of the shungite beehive boxes with colloidal silver, but that's for fungus, bacteria, viruses on the box. So, of course, you're talking about a way to directly affect the bees using the sodium chloride in the water, or way to.
Well, it's not viruses, it's chemicals. And could you increase the size of your screen so that it's easier seen on the video?
Mine is actually maximum, so I think it's on your end. You need to maximize zoom, and then you'll see my screen bigger.
Okay.
Yeah, mine's so I'll just
Got
click buttons and
it.
I'd be application, but I'm not gonna sit here and read this while it's. I mean, I'm skimming it real quickly here, but because that's great idea, so I'm glad you brought that up, Kevin. As far as the, I mean, you'd be the guy, so that.
Well, and whenever it's consumed by animals or anything that has stomach acid goes and activates the sodium chloride, and it creates chlorine dioxide, and chlorine dioxide has been shown to be effective against glyphosate.
Interesting. Okay.
It
Yeah.
breaks it down.
Huh. Yeah. I want to hear myself here. I got an echo for a minute. I will have to put some of that under a microscope and throw some glyphosate on there and maybe record it. I've done that with shungite. I've done it with graphene as well, and that stuff starts lighting up like little sparks of light. Yeah, that was crazy. I still have a box of that stuff buried in the garage somewhere. I bought it from some university and tested it for something or other.
So with doing a microscope inspection, I would recommend doing like one drop of part A, one drop of part B. It'll make it turn cloudy and start to smell like a pool, and then put a drop of the glyphosate on it. And see how that reacts, because that's really what's going and oxidizing and breaking down pathogens and chemicals and all sorts of nasty stuff.
Micro, I'm literally jotting this down. And glyphosate, I gotta go buy some more Roundup. Hate to do that because, yeah. I did just see it at the store the other day. I wasn't real thrilled. I thought those they were gonna outlaw it or something or other.
I heard that several years ago as well, and it's like, well, I mean, they also said that the Epstein files were going to be released and stuff, so.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm walking. I know exactly. Yeah, I'm walking in wherever I was, Home Depot yesterday, and all of a sudden there's a pallet of it sitting there. I'm like, so anyway, yeah, I'll get some of that and check it out. And
Yeah, see if you can get a video off of the microscope, and we'll put it up here on this show.
I definitely can. And
Nice.
it,
No,
yeah,
no pressure time-wise.
oh, it's. No problem there. It's actually easy because the microscope's sitting at my feet. And then if in the future, if we ever want to, I can go live. You know, obviously I can share screen and you guys can see it in real time. I mean, I'll prep the microscope, set it up, and we'll get it going. And then we
Well,
can watch
that would be fun.
that. Yeah, I mean, that might be interesting. I can that again. Well, I'll get a slide of the graphene if we even want to get back into that. Or I've still got a box of that Colombian racorite, you know, the fake elite shungite. All kinds of things to put under the microscope. But like sodium chloride, yeah, the what we're talking about here, we'll do it in different ways, and no, we can definitely do that.
Yeah, we'll have Kevin back.
Yeah, and then the roundup, of course, do that and come up with different ideas. I mean, it's high def video. I can broadcast and or record with that thing. So I just run out of ideas of what to stick under the microscope.
Yeah. Mark,
And
you chime in here?
For chlorine dioxide, what does Kevin recommend as far as website, books, material? Because people, if people type in Jim Humble and I think the MMS, you can find that for free on PDF because the physical copy is like $80, almost $100. And I know like. You could there's some interviews with Andreas Kalker, who does a lot of the his own version of chlorine dioxide. I think Dr. Robert Young too does sodium chloride, but yeah, just kind of a good start out for people who are listening.
Yeah, so Andreas Kalker, he does what is known as CDS, and that is where you have captured the chlorine dioxide gas into distilled water. And so you're not getting any of the other breakdown products of the sodium chloride and the hydrochloric acid. And like Derek, you had mentioned that you were having some Herxheimer reaction and stuff with that. Yeah, and that MMS, the two-part solution is very exceedingly powerful. And so like there's a starting protocol to start with that before getting to doing like a protocol 1000, protocol 1000 plus. And the other things that Jim Humble and Mark Grennan have outlined. And so I have sent a link to Derek on Facebook Messenger. And Mark, I can send it to you as well with a link to the chlorine dioxide testimonies group on Telegram. They also have a Rumble channel. That is fantastic. And then we're having live audio chats every Monday and Friday so far.
Yeah, I think I'm on that. And then there's also the Universal Antidote. They have their group too, and I think a documentary also that's pretty cool that NASA had used, or maybe is still using that for whatever they're using it for.
For just for sterilizing surfaces and yeah. And that's an interesting thing because NASA first coined chlorine dioxide as the universal antidote in, I think it was 1989. And but if you go to like the Grok AI person or AI entity, if you will, and you mention, hey, chlorine dioxide is the universal antidote, and it's basically a toe in the line now saying that that NASA is denying that, and it's good for like industrial uses, but n there's no evidence and nothing to say that it could be used for anything biologically as a medicine, and it's like, man, come on. Yeah, you're in the chlorine dioxide testimonies group on Telegram, Mark.
I think so, yeah. And then the universal antidote. People post all sorts of stuff. So even in there, you can type in whatever disease comes to mind or annoyance or ailment, and then there's like what you can do for it. Are you familiar with Safrax? I think it's called MMS2, the tablet form. I know it like for my throat it. scratches it a little bit here and there, but it works pretty good.
I've heard of it, but I've not ever used it myself. I mean, I can purchase sodium chloride flakes off of Amazon or any place, and then just go and dilute it down to 24% solution. Because I mean, people, whenever people ask me about chlorine dioxide, I go and I share a link to like KV Lab out of Florida. But and it's like $35, okay, and that'll last you for freaking ever. But it's when you're using large amounts of chlorine dioxide, it's just not very financially effective. But going and doing sodium chloride flakes and getting a jar of or a jug of hydrochloric acid and dissolving that down, diluting it down to a smaller, like a 4% solution. I mean, you can buy a 5 gallons of hydrochloric acid and 5 pounds of sodium chloride, and you'll have MMS chlorine dioxide for the rest of your life, and you can share it with everybody you know, kind of thing.
And as we're going into summer, what's the recommended, like, what would you bring on a trip? I suppose even on an airplane or even on the road, what's a good option or options?
So if it's on a plane, I would go with just the sodium chloride solution, and I would put it into a little bottle that is what, 2 ounces or less. So the flight control doesn't go and confiscate it and throw it out. And then if you're doing it on the road, you can just bring a two-part kit or just some sodium chloride flakes, which is a big upfront investment if you're buying like 5 pounds of it. Like that's real stiff on the wallet kind of thing. But again, those part A and B kits from KV Lab, and there's other dispensers, people that are selling it, but I've been using KV Lab for almost a decade and a half now, and they've been amazing. You can also go to Amazon, and KV Lab has an Amazon storefront, so you can purchase their products from KV Lab through Amazon as a portal. And so if you're just driving, I would bring just a two-part kit and use that and make it up as you need it.
Okay, great. Thank you. And then I know you referenced the Telegram site, but as far as physical books, I know because Humble has a book, Grennan has a few books, Calcar has like two or three books. What's a good two or three physical books to start off with?
So I am really a fan of Kalker's book. It's an expensive book, but I don't think it's up at $80 like Jim Humble's. Jim Humble died in 2023, I think. And so his material is now become kind of collector's items, and it's priced appropriately. Mark Grennan has a few books, and I believe his are cheaper, and more more better leveraged for individuals to purchase and use. And he knew Jim Humble as well, so.
Yeah, so with that, do you know what Humboldt passed from? Because if chlorine dioxide is a universal antidote, how come he passed away? I mean, eventually everybody will, in a sense, but do you know anything behind that?
I do not know the particulars about his death. And I know that it wasn't just from cancer or, bull crap like that. But I mean, it's what is it, a black oil was used in Muslim countries and their traditions. It was the cure for everything. It said cures everything except death.
Is that the
And it's just one of those things that the death toll is still one per person, and we haven't hacked that yet.
Is it the black cumin seed oil or some other? I'm not sure.
Yeah, black cumin seed.
Okay. Yeah, I use that to gargle after I brush my teeth. It's got so many uses. I have to
Oh, yeah.
look more into that. Kevin, anything else you want to get into? I'm a big follower of your posts online as far as updates on chlorine dioxide and the like, but anything else on your radar recently?
So at the beginning of the year, I had purchased a bubbler kit from this gentleman named Jonah Meyer. And he was introducing his product, like, hey, here's the kit. And he released a PDF of how to construct the kit so that you could make your own CDS at 3,000 parts per million in less than 10 minutes, as opposed to 24 to 48 hours, which is the original method that Kalker showed was, having to do it in a two-part step, and it was 24 hours per step. And so it was just a long waiting game. And so that was great. But and so people have said that one drop of MMS or sodium chloride is equal to 10 milliliters of CDS, and or it was one drop to 1 milliliter CDS. And while CDS is really great because it doesn't give you the Herxheimer reaction that MMS will give most people, it is not as effective for going and treating, chronic diseases and stuff. So, like, I am currently, I make a liter of CDS 3000 ppm at a time, and then I will activate 12 to 15 drops of MMS, and then I'll combine that to my 1 liter bottle of water, protocol C, which is for common, and I'm doing it more of a protocol F, which is for frequent, and it's whenever you have an acute situation that you need to, bring more to bear on. And so I'm doing those two things combined, so it's like a 1-2 punch, and I've been able to give myself a Herxheimer reaction again, which I haven't had for years and years that I've been on chlorine dioxide, because I've been using it enough. And then, especially once I went to CDS, it's gentle enough on the system that it's not causing a detox healing reaction or a healing crisis, And so, but now recently, and I'd say in the last week and a half, I've started doing 1 liter of, protocol C, but doing it at protocol F intervals. And then, so I have 1 liter bottle with 30 milliliters of CDS at 3000 ppm, plus 12 activated drops of MMS. And the first day or two that I was doing that, yeah, I kind of felt like crap. And as Derek can probably attest to, that chlorine dioxide will whoop you. But being on that consistently, I'm no longer having the Herxheimer reaction, and I'm just having more of the benefits and the positive effects from. from doing all that.
Yeah, I'm sure I would have tapered down. I mean, I could have, slowed down the amount I was doing all sorts of things. But no, it was definitely having an effect. I mean, I could. It's the only thing would be that, like I said, Herxheimer symptoms, and then yeah, the flavors a bit. It's just like you were mentioning. It's like chlorine. It is the same thing that you dump in a pool. So you're drinking a few drops of that, and I was only doing. 3 drops of part A and B, so 6 drops total each time, but up to what, 8 times a day.
Right. Well, and doing the MMS1 is what it's called whenever you're activating. So the sodium chlorate is MMS, and combining it with an acid activator. So you have 1 drop of part A, 1 drop of part B. That equals 1 drop of MMS1. And so what you're doing is 3 drops of MMS1 and And
Gotcha.
if you didn't do a starting protocol at like an eighth of a drop or a quarter of a drop, then yeah, you're going to get more of that horrible Herxheimer reaction. And as you mentioned, yeah, you have to get past the flavor. And
That got less and less. You get kind of used to it. It wasn't even a big deal. The initial shock for some people, yeah.
right. Oh yeah.
I won't say palatable. I mean, you can drink it. Yeah, it's not that big of a thing. And I didn't realize that is the two combined equals one sort of deal. So I get it. Yeah, that's yeah. And I used the same stuff. I got the liquid version in the glass bottles from the distributor you'd mentioned. So, nope, it works very well. And you're right about a huge amount because when we're talking these, I mean, maybe the jars were, I'd guesstimate maybe 4 ounces each. So that's a large amount I got for not a real expensive price.
Right. And those are 4 ounces, 4 ounce
Yeah.
bottles.
Yeah, that makes sense. So yeah, and it lasts a long time. Nancy, did you have any questions you wanted to ask her? I know you did.
No, but I would like to ask Kevin to, give me a list of links that he's been referencing because they was coming out so many so fast I couldn't write them down. Just, so we can help up. I should say here that people who are listening to this, we are not doctors. We're not medical people. All we're doing is giving you our experiences with different substances. So, don't take our word for it. Do your own research. There's a lot of people that know a lot about this subject, and you never know. You have to keep up on all of these things because from time to time, something that works and seems safe and everything, all of a sudden they find out that, oh, maybe this isn't so safe. So you've got to stay up on what you're doing and pay attention. Stay focused. But we're not medical people. Don't take this as being the, place you need to find out this information. We're br bringing you information to help your research, to help yourself feel better. So, no. I don't have any questions. I've got lots of them, but you know how I am.
Right. Well, Nancy, I am replying to you on Facebook Messenger, and I'm sharing you the links to the Diatomaceous Earth Facebook group
Okay.
and the chlorine dioxide testimonies.
Okay, that'll give people a place to start. Yeah, I've been using the diatomaceous earth for a while now. Yes, you can sprinkle it on your cats. They don't like it. So what I do is I put it in the palm of my hand and then I just rub their neck. Now, you got to be careful with it because it's a powder. And you don't want the animal getting their nose in there chasing a flea that's dying because it's been cut up by the, see, it's not a chemical, it's shell. In the microscopic world, it's like huge knives. So fleas, anything that's on them is gonna get off of them or die. because sooner or later they'll walk through it. So be careful not to make a this big dust thing that your cat or dog are going to breathe in. You got to be careful with it. Be aware, be focused. But also for intestinal worms in animals, I brought in these cats. They were basically feral, except the mama, and they you I couldn't handle them. I mean, they took me a year or two before they let me start touching them even. I mean, oh my God, a handful. But so I took them to, I got them to the vet so that they could be fixed. And they said that they had worms, and they gave me these worm things, worm pills or something. And I'm going like, no way am I going to get these down these animals. No way. So that's when I looked at DE, and I found out how effective it was for parasites in animals. And my recommendation is to use as little. Just start out small, because the dosages that people were recommending, I cut down, and I had the same effect. So I think that you don't have to think in terms of a lot for any of this stuff to work. But again, you have to pay attention that you kill off some of the parasites, and you might have to do it again to get rid of the other ones. But the animals will tell you. So again, something you can do naturally instead of putting all those chemicals on them and in them. That nature gave us everything we need. We just have to figure out how to use it. Okay, so is there something else you guys wanted to talk about regarding this subject, or shall we go on to another subject?
No, I'm probably good.
Because I would really like to ask you guys, and I know Mark knows a lot about this, about what did I tell you, Derek?
Mitochondria.
Yes, mitochondria. Now, the reason for that is my sister, who's been overweight all her life, even took the Ozempic and had no effect, was told by her daughter physician that after testing, she was very low in mitochondria. And as soon as she said that, I said, you know, Mary, I don't know much about this subject, but I know that you can rebuild your mitochondria by getting out in the sun. And she said to me, oh, I never go out in the sun. And I thought, well, now. So I knew that you guys probably knew more about it. I certainly don't know much about it. And Mark's been talking to me for a long time, but takes me a while before I get the impulse to pay attention, Mark. I apologize. So, Mark, you want to start with mitochondria and why, particularly how you can get it into your body just by the sunlight? Because something simple like that people miss, and yet it becomes a critical nourishment to your own being. So I'm going to throw it to you if you're good with that.
Yeah, and I know Kevin can get into this too, regarding the copper angle. I'm a big listener of Morley Robbins and his copper approach, and Robbins does acknowledge Dr. Cruz's angle, and copper does fuel the mitochondria as well as getting rid of parasites and delivering bad stuff out of the body. But as far as I mean, my foundation for the mitochondria stuff is just Dr. Jack Cruz, who I've been into since I discovered shungite around 2019. And the solutions are very simple. Like, if there was one thing you can do is get sunrise. And I noticed I do not weightlifting, but variable resistance training. I have more energy and power when I can up my numbers after a day of sunrise. So that's one part. If you can't do sunrise, then sunset. And obviously, being outside as much as you can. I know that's not too realistic for a lot of people, but also the main thing is at night, there's this acronym called ALAN, artificial light at night. And then people can listen to the Shungite show from last week, and there was some clips played at near the end of one of Dr. Cruz's latest interviews of basically how creativity has helped humankind, but it also damages health because there's that point where the witching hour for some people, and it happened to me too, where there's this opening of when creativity has that you can access. And even as far back as when people lived in caves, the cave art, there was brain damage is happening. Another thing is to increase your electrons in your body. So Dr. Cruz does have a book, The Epipaleo Diet, and he emphasizes electron dense foods, which would be seafood. And his number one go-to is oysters. But otherwise, general seafood is fine. you could obviously go to his book, but also there's a mitochondriac Facebook page. And I do follow a bunch of his students. They have their own social media. One of them is Sarah Kleiner. I think it's Quantum Conversations. And they talk about all the regular stuff that, vitamin D and hormones and fasting and these kind of things from quantum biophysics, which is, again, Cruz's, and Dr. Cruz is formerly a neurosurgeon and used to live in Florida and now lives in El Salvador because obviously tons of people moving to the South for, more freedom and that ups the EMFs around. And so even in, like he was saying, even if you did live in El Salvador, you have a dirty electricity issue. But regarding mitochondria, yeah, just, oh, and then at night you want to be able to cover your skin because any kind of your skin has the same photoreceptors as your eyes, so you want to cover that up at night. And if you need to use light at night, you want to use red light. And cover up as much like when you sleep to have no light coming through the window. I know I have that issue, and I'm trying to look at getting or applying blackout curtains. But it really is that simple. So if your sister checks out Sarah Kleiner on YouTube, her story is about first trying carnivore and then did have a good change with that, but needed to go further. And so she did the mitochondriac approach because she was trying to get pregnant in her 40s. And as soon as she did the thing with the grounding, sunlight, and being outside more, then she was able to get pregnant. And he's a
What was
wellness
her
coach.
name? What was her name, and how do you spell it?
Oh, Sarah's with an H at the end, and Kleiner's Kleiner. So I like her because she balances the carnivore stuff also with the quantum wellness, quantum biophysics. And she's continuing doing certification through Dr. Cruz for different things. And I think as far as accessibility, especially from a female point of view, her I think Quantum Conversations, and she has a wellness podcast on podcast apps and YouTube. So that's what I found recently. Does that cover it, or you want me to go further?
Well, I think that well, Kevin will, and Derek, I mean, you might know something about this, but one of the things I want to kind of learn is what is mitochondria? What the heck is it doing?
Mitochondria is an organelle within the living cell of our bodies. So each cell, I mean, if you look it up into like a physiology textbook, it's going to show like one blob is the mitochondria, and there's like tens of thousands of mitochondria per cell. So, doing things like dry fasting helps the body to generate, to make new stem cells, and the stem cells, come back with the mitochondria, and so the mitochondria is on the electron transport chain. It is how the cells produce ATP, which is the cellular currency of energy. Because people say, oh, I ate calories and that's so much energy. Well, no, not really. You eat physical things, but the physical stuff includes lots of electrons. And so the electrons go and feed the mitochondrial system and the whole electron transport chain, which goes and generates cellular energy. So, and as Mark was saying, the getting the light and talking about Dr. Sarah Kleiner and Morley Robinson and Dr. Jack Cruz, they go into why light is important and how light is important. And yes, it's the first few minutes of light in the morning and the last minutes of light at night. Whenever the sun gets into your eyes, you don't have to do sun gazing and staring right at the sun, but letting the sunlight get into your eye so that it can go and activate on the retina. It'll trigger things in the brain to start producing things like melatonin, which helps with your sleeping. So getting morning light makes it a lot easier to sleep at night. But then so it's like getting the red wavelengths, which are strongest in the morning and in the evening, sunrise, sunset. And if you have a like a UV a near infrared lamp, then it goes and it really just supercharges the mitochondria. And so that's really good for cellular energy.
Yeah, the
Well,
red light. Oh, go ahead.
let me just tell you my experience there. So when I said to my sister, I know that it's sunlight and I know that the best time is in the sunrise, but I heard that it was an hour before dusk. You can also get a buildup of mitochondria not as effective as the sunrise. So I don't get up at, well, I spent 25 years working a night shift on the beach and watched the sunrise over 5,000 times, every morning virtually. And I used to tell people, why do you need so much sleep? And I didn't had no clue that it was because I was seeing that sunrise. So for 25 years, I was like a Derek. But Derek also had 17 years doing similar thing in another job, night job type of thing. So I just kind of like chuckled when I started finding out, why the universe put me in a position where I was getting the best kind of health treatment and I didn't even realize it. But then when I said that to my sister, I said to myself, well, I'm going to go out at dusk and see what I feel. So I did. And the first day, the first night was, the sun was going down and it was pretty clear. There was a little bit of clouds, but not much. And I'm sitting there in the dark. Well, I've got a long, I'm in a forest, so I had to walk a while up the thing to put the chair to be able to be in the sun. But now I'm looking directly at the sunset, and I realized that I could stare at the sun without having that not be able to do. It was like it was really meditative and kind of compelling to do this. But the energy that I was feeling, you go out every night, you don't, if you don't pay attention, you don't really see the subtleties out there. And the energy that I was getting just sitting there doing nothing except being in that energy was pretty astounding to me. And I do know energy. So the next day it was cloudy and I still went out and I found that even though it was a much less dense effect, I still was getting the effect. I could still feel the energy. So I really, it caught my attention. I'm very much aware now. And even if I don't have the time to sit and meditate in that environment, if I've got to water plants or anything, I go out right before dusk. And like I say, it's a lot of the simple things in life that we miss that could be just the key to being in good health. So, Yeah, I've still got a lot of questions, but the basic understanding that I have now is that when we eat food, that food is not the energy that your body works on. The sugars that you're taking in as food is then used by the mitochondria to create energy. Is that what happens?
Yeah, from what I understand, it does. To the point where Sarah Kleiner was mentioning being able to have weight loss too, and following those really simple things. And as far as hormonal changes, it doesn't even take that long. It just few to several days, and then the body realigns itself, because if you're aligning with nature, it just snaps back into place. So really, just those simple things, the sunrise, grounding, seafood. So and it's great that she's still active and just constantly sharing common myths, like those topics I mentioned. And yeah, it's all free information, and she does have a clientele, and it's great. You know, I'm glad she, because Dr. Cruz is really hard to understand, a lot of his stuff. And he has a lot more followers now, and then it's a great way to filter out, you know, and how can this be practical and usable and shareable to friends and family, now that I'm sure you guys heard, but maybe not, that the president's probably going to pay people like $5,000 for to have kids or something like that. It was some kind of New York Post headline I think I saw the other week.
Yes, it's on the table. Whether they do it or not. I mean, a lot of people say, well, this isn't going to do anything for the cost of bringing up a child. But it's an incentive to at least get you going. And it doesn't seem to be enough. So I think that they're going to try to draw up some program that will be helpful for people that want to have kids, but they just can't afford it. Maybe fix the economy. I don't know. So no, but it is something out there that there can, because that, well, this is how important this information is. When Brett Baer from Fox News was interviewing Elon Musk and the Doge team, which is not teenagers, these are established businessmen that are overseeing what's happening with the Doge program. It was very impressive. But he had also a one-on-one with Musk, Elon Musk. And the question to Elon was, what keeps you up at night? What do you worry about the most? And Elon paused and he said, the birth rate, it's falling. And if we don't do something in the next 20 years, we won't have humanity. And that was, you know, this is like the smartest guy on the planet right now. And to me, hearing him say that, all of a sudden focused in on a real problem. And because he's so close to the president, I'm assuming that the president also sees that stark reality. It's not just the United States, it's worldwide. So,
Well, I like Musk's, he's doing that whole be the change you want to see in the world. And so he's got what, 12 kids now? So.
Yes, and that's why he's doing that. Because, yeah, it's fascinating, because you think, well, what's the man, just horny or something? No, he is choosing women to be mothers of his children, so that the
He's doing
kids,
the whole Genghis Khan strategy.
yeah, and he feels that this is part of his mission, is to do as much as he can to increase the population with people that, with his genetics, might be, you know, the keys to the future. I think he's fascinating. The man is, I don't care what you think of him, you know, he's still he does things that nobody else in the world does. You know, he can take a spaceship and put it up in the air and then take the bottom part of it and bring it right back where it started from. Nobody else can do that, nowhere in the world. And when asked about that by President Trump, Musk said to him, no, nobody else can do it, and it'll take him 10 years to figure it out. So this guy, He's fun. You know, I don't know. I mean, I didn't like him to begin with. He was like kind of spooky. And he said some things that I really didn't, you know, understand and therefore didn't think it was a good idea. But now I can see why he said a lot of the things that made me hesitate about him. Give the man a chance. Derek, you want to say anything about anything?
No, not really. I don't think I have any other notes to or comments to announce.
I can ask Kevin about the copper angle. I know, like Derek, in your story, you have a new shungite bracelet with silver and shungite and copper, and then you have the electroculture product there, the wire with the shungite at the end. So maybe if Kevin can go into how he discovered, like why he got into the copper angle, because it's huge. People think you need more iron, you know, this whole iron thing, but like Morley Robbins said in his interviews, the medicine does not differentiate iron in the blood or the tissue, and they're doing these iron filings in food, which isn't even bioavailable iron, and so people do have too much iron in the body, and it's not going anywhere. And the copper helps to flush it out along with parasites and powering the mitochondria. So for me, I took the Morley Robbins angle. He does have a supplement of what do you call it? Copper biglycinate, and then Walt does the same thing too. And he does quote frequently that glyphosate is banned in France, but pretty much everybody has glyphosate in their blood when it was tested. And so it's so important people have some kind of copper intake. Maybe you guys can comment on the copper vessels that, you know, drinking out of a copper what do you call it? Cup or whatever. I know Matt Ruski from Cultivate Elevate promotes that, but copper is huge, and I'm glad, you know, we're all moving back to recognizing its importance for the body and for, you know, the planet. So maybe you guys go off on that.
Yeah, so the Copper Revolution protocol that was done by Jim Hommel, Homnel, and I think I'm getting his name incorrect, so
And there's a Facebook group of it too, right?
Jason Hommel is his name.
Yeah.
Yeah, th there is a Facebook group, and I've shared that link with you, Mark.
Thank you.
I shared that with Nancy, and I think I shared it with Derek as well. But here I shared the Jason Hommel is reading like the first 30 chapters of his book, and his book is a beast. It's like five, almost 600 pages, and it is chock full of references. And a thing that Jason's doing now is going to like Grok and, you know, other AI and talking about his protocol, and then the AI is going and giving the standard answer of like, oh, you know, humans need 0.9 milligrams of copper a day, and that's just insanely low. And so he goes and he walks the AI through the whole process. And eventually the AI is like, oh yeah, the 0.9 milligrams of copper is not nearly enough for what the human body is needing. And so he's converting the AI, which I don't know if that's going to be persistent, but you know, it's at least, you know, good to see happening. And the drinking, like through copper water bottles or copper cups, it gets you like 0.02 milligrams of copper a day, which is almost not. It's pretty, And it's good for the energy because copper is a dielectric matter. And so really it's interesting because being on copper as much as I have been, when I went and I got a couple of MRIs last late summer, I'm still going and dosing copper, and I'm at a much higher dose than what is recommended, even within the protocol, just because copper has such positive effects for the nervous system and for everything in the body. So I'm taking the trifecta that builds collagen. That's copper, zinc, and vitamin C. And so I will do those three continuing going on. But yes, but drinking out of a copper cup, it's just very little, almost none enough worth mentioning. But oh, and what I was saying about my MRI last year is because I have chelated the gadolinium contrast dye out of my body, so it's no longer in my body. But because I take as high a dose of copper as I do here at length now, when I had got my MRIs taken, they were able to see things that only show up when I was on gadolinium, because copper, being a dielectric material, it goes and it functions as a contrast media. So
Oh, great. Thank you.
yeah.
Derek, how about your take on copper and then why it's so important to add to the products you put in and maybe future projects?
Yeah, you mentioned we're doing that. We have the new Shungite or Cosmic Silver Shungite bracelets that do integrate. And I'm wearing two of them right now, one on each hand. And what's a little unusual, if I can tell you more about them, is I don't think I've taken these off, and I don't usually do that. Usually I'll take off my bracelets, but these I literally haven't taken off since we made them, I don't know, a few weeks ago. So that's, and that wasn't intentional. So that's probably a good thing, or, not even conscious of leaving it on that way. But I like the copper, and aesthetically, yeah, it's great as well, because that's the first thing people notice in here when I'm wearing them. But energetically, no, I just love the feeling of it, and I'm led to it whether I'm thinking about it or not. So I have a bunch of bracelets here, and I always just grab the copper ones. Now, as far as consuming things like that, I don't know much about that. I don't have any copper vessels, and I'd have to do my own research on that to see if, again, that's even a biocompatible copper. And even if copper sloughs off from the vessel, I mean, there's a lot of factors on that. I have actually get my consumable copper in supplement form. It's from it's Tangy Tangerine, it's called. It's just a Tangy Tangerine 2.0, I think it's called, a powdered supplement you can get online. So if you do, aware of things like, that having copper that you do need it, make sure that your supplement has the right kind of copper and or has copper. But as far as, passing through your skin and all that, I'd have to do more research. I have no idea, because when I'm using it, as far as the bracelets, it's energy wise, so not so think metaphysical rather than physical. Not that the two are separate, because they're not, but when I'm working with it here, be it copper pyramids or different devices, I made some orgone devices the other day, and I put little copper filings in there, in the orgone device, and yeah, it helps move again that orgone energy. It's just one of the ingredients, so it works great for that, vague term we have for energy. But no, it's fan. Oh, you also mentioned the what do we call them? The spiral electroculture rods, Shungite ones. And we've been making those. Those we sell out of, because we not just have the not only have the copper spiral that's, I don't know, what is it, about 6 or 7 inches long or something like that. And then the spiral on the top, but we integrate a cosmic shungite bead on the top as well. So it just kind of, enhances.
Nice.
Yeah, exactly. Enhances that little antenna on there. And then what I've been telling people, Kevin, as well, somebody yesterday came in. So let's say you got a garden and a bunch of stuff in there. Well, I mean, you can put these little spiral shungite, again, I'm forgetting the name right now, the ones we make on the corners, and then you can get some copper wire and run it around them. So, and how to have it really low to the ground, because pests or things like, well, a lot of insects and things, but slugs and snails and things like that won't cross copper. So you can get a couple benefits from having, again, the spiral copper rods on each corner, and then just run a thin copper wire around each one. And then, yeah, you're getting an electroculture there, and you're doing a lot more things. But it will help for pest control too.
Absolutely.
Well,
And
we should mention that every pendant is wrapped with copper wire that's colored, right?
oh no, we have the silver ones. So the cosmic ones are silver. And then I'd have to talk to Jalissa. She does all the wrapping right now, so I don't even want to. It says it in the descriptions of depending on which one. But the thing, and yeah, so that is initially how we started, was wrapping cosmic silver shungite nuggets or regular shungite nuggets with copper wire. And we still do that. But we also now, Nancy, I don't know if you've known this or not, but we put them in. So the cosmic nuggets, not all are wrappable, as you know, better than probably anybody. Some have to have, some just shouldn't be wrapped energetically, and some just don't have the right shape for wrapping. So now we've got little, and I should have thought of the name before I brought it up, but think a necklace, a cloth necklace, oh geez, but with a little pouch on the bottom, a net sort of thing that you can just kind of drop the shungite nugget into. And there's probably a fancy name for it that I don't know, but it's just a little mesh pouch, so you can actually see the nugget as well, and there's no wrap involved that would tarnish.
Native Americans would call it a medicine bag.
Well, yeah, but that'd be a closed bag, and I have those as well, little leather pouches and things. But this is an open one, so it looks like literally a fishing net, but made out of cotton, and so it's a little, I don't know, you can see the nugget in there. That's the cool part too. So that's what we're putting up today on Mystical Warrior's website, is a bunch more of the 6, 9, and 3 day cosmic silver tumbled nuggets, but in this little pouch I'm talking about. And I'll probably think of a better name once I hang up, but nothing else. We a couple more just quick updates here. We do have I think it's 1 pound of shungite small medium nuggets now available for $30, which is ends up being easily a couple hundred nuggets on the website. So you can do that. So if you're, again, springtime, you're starting gardens, now you can, for that one cost, you can literally put a nugget at each of your plants, the bases or the stalk. And that's what I've done with plants here, and they'll respond. So you can do things like that, and it's more of a bulk one. They're just not inspected for pyrite inclusions, or maybe they're oddly shaped because they're off from the manufacturing process, but it's good shungite. Trying to think of what else to announce that we maybe have. Not a whole lot on this end right now, like stuff behind the scenes I'm doing.
Do you notice a growth difference if you were to put three rocks on a plant versus nine or even six?
Nope, I have never done that. I'm looking here to my left, and I'm looking at my plant, which I actually have to trim off pieces and then root them and replant them because it grows so fast. But no, I don't think I've ever done that type of test with different nuggets. That's something that's smart for somebody to do out in a garden somewhere. You have some room and you can actually do it. So, and I don't have that right now either myself, so.
We should mention that that plant in your office does not get sunlight.
No, the one in the shungite room, the two plants in the shungite room behind my office, there's no windows, no sunlight, just LED lights. It should be killing everything. And it's great. I get comments every single day when somebody comes in for a session. They think it's fake. I'm like, nope, it's real. Like obnoxiously real. It's huge. It's gorgeous. So I'm just kidding. But yeah, just shungite nuggets in there and or powder. Either way will work for your plants at home. And then I just give them shungite water. That's it. Nothing, and no sunlight at all. No plant lights either. I'm not at nighttime turning on the plant light or doing, I do nothing like that, and I can't stop these things from growing. Yeah, I'll get real bored one day. I'll get pictures of them or something, but yeah, and anybody can do that with any plants. We've done outdoor ones and indoor ones.
Nice. Well, and to Nancy and to Mark talking, going back to the copper, and like a copper vessel, like a bottle or a cup, while you are not going to be getting a therapeutic dose of copper from that, due to the dielectric nature of the copper, it goes and it structures the water. So there is a change on that. So, like, I've kept my copper bottle filled with distilled water for months. And normally, water that's just stored for months in a bottle is going to taste super stale. But I just go and I swirl it around, a couple of times and then take a sip, and it's nice, vibrant, and fresh. So that was just a comment that I wanted to make
No, that
since we were
makes
talking.
sense. I'm glad you did make that about, basically, structuring the water once it's in there, and that makes total sense as well. I just didn't have any copper containers, so I'm not wasn't aware. Well, I'll tell you, copper is what the Shungite moonshine comes out of, Nancy, and you know I make that. And I don't know if you did, Kevin, but or Mark, but yeah, so that stuff comes out through copper as well.
So what is this Shungite moonshine?
Yeah, I've mentioned that kind of a couple times before. I distill it. I do a lot of my own products here at Mystical Ware. So I make Sacred Seven mushroom tinctures. I'm sure you've heard of those, very aware of them, and different arnica liniments. And so I do lots of stuff here. But I don't buy the ingredients, so I'll make it. So even that, a lot of them have to have water base. So then I'll literally just go crazy OCD on the water, meaning I'm gonna, because so if I'm making say the Shungite moonshine, I want the water molecule, which is the in essence energy container that's is that. Well, I got to make sure that's clean, so you don't just use tap water. I get water and I'll reverse osmosis, I'll carbon filter it, UV treat it as well, because that's necessary to remove some of the chemicals or prescription drugs that gets into our water supply that then end up coming out of our tap. So I'll do those, and then Shungite water as well. So then I'll add the Shungite water beads to it. All of that cleaning processes before I distill it through the copper still, because I'll need, so some of these things take alcohol. There's a percentage of alcohol in them, like the Arnica one, let's say. So I'm not going to go buy, and when they say go buy a cheap vodka off the shelf at your local grocery store, I'm like, well, heck no, because that's energy container. There's water molecules in there, and that we're making an energy, tool here. If we're talking about even one of these liniments to put on your skin topically or something, or a consumable one, tincture. So I want the right stuff. So I'll actually distill my own alcohol. So I don't do it out in the moon anymore, but it's making your own alcohol and then taking that as the ingredients as well, or some of the hydrosols. All the hydrosols I distill as well, and then they're run through copper, and it's just a good end result. Yeah, I'm just not real big. I don't trust, because I bought it, those cheap alcohols and used them, and it matters. It makes a difference. So I prefer to use my own. Yeah, that Shungite Shine is, well, I mean, just that. I'm just making pure alcohol, no flavor to it or anything. As you know, again, well, actually, on some of the hydrosols, like I'm in the middle of making, I just made a peppermint, and now I'm working on a frankincense hydrosol. So just organically, and there are organic ingredients, scented waters, for those that don't know what hydrosols are, that you can spray. They're a good replacement for candles and incense that, if those wicks, and sometimes the scents in the candles or even the wax itself is toxic, or there's particles in there and you're breathing them, or the glues that bind the incense sticks together. On some of them are
And
all,
it's much more affordable than like shelling out $120 for some sacred frankincense essential oil.
yeah. Exactly. So yeah, so I make all those things here, and again, I'm all about just doing our own, and actually, I made for the cedar hydrosol. I walked down our backyard here, Mystical Wares, from the cedar tree, and I asked it and appreciated it, and it takes a small amount, so it's not like I'm hacking up a tree, but the new cedar sprouts that are coming off some of the branches out there, yeah, we use our own stuff and then work from that because it does make a difference. I'm not just buying. I don't know. They probably sell it some cedar scent online or something. I don't know. So Nancy and Mark, I don't know if we don't if we
Well,
can.
just let me say, I can attest to the fact that those hydrosols are pretty magical. I've got some of the five that you originally went out with, and yeah, it's something to look at. Is there anything you want to announce, Derek?
No, not right now. Maybe on the next podcast, I'll be closer to a couple things announced. But no, I just have a bunch of notes here I'm excited about that I made listening to Kevin today.
Yeah, that's why we like Kevin. He is a encyclopedia of information. We can end this because we don't have to go the two hours. So if anybody wants to talk about something, let's talk about it. Otherwise, thank you very much.
No, appreciate you being here, Kevin, too. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for having me on again. I really appreciate that. It's good to hang out with old friends.
Yes,
Well,
it is.
yeah.
Especially 16. I didn't realize it was 16. My God, you've been with us almost the whole trip. Because that's when Derek was more like 17. But you got there before. No, how could you be? Because.
No, I was 16 when I was there doing the beehives and stuff. What I'll do is let's have Kevin back too. When I and I'll announce it to you guys when I get the microscope set up and all of you, so all three of you and listeners, if you want, you can email us suggestions. But I'll get the microscope set up and we'll record the video as well and share that on Rumble and other places of, well, from the sodium chlorite being put in there, and I'll even get the DE, the diatomaceous earth, the Roundup, all that stuff, and let's just have a see what it does under the microscope in real time.
Okay.
Yeah. Yep. Well,
Mark, did you want to say anything?
no, sounds great. Thanks everybody. And then we got Cosmic Soup tomorrow, Nancy, that we taped, and then of course Awaken and Aware on Saturday that
No.
Nope.
You've not been updated. I took the player down. That's why we don't have to stay with the schedule.
A good reminder for everybody too, then.
Yeah, remind him. What's happened is that for 79,000 hours, we played continually 24/7 for almost a decade. Because at that time when we started out, you just couldn't go to a podcast listing and pull off all this stuff, which you can do now. So you can give yourself, the experience of continually playing podcasts. And we have podcasts now. So keeping up the 24/7 was just not needed, basically. So we're not doing that. But we also have a problem doing live shows. So what I've done on the website is you go to Cosmic Reality / radio, and you'll find that the current event weeks are up there with a player. And right now, it's four from last week that are up there. And we'll get this one up and the Cosmic Soup one and Aware and Awake, Awake and Aware, Awake, Awake versus Aware. And we'll get those up. And then there's the Say What show, also an Ani show. So you just go and you can start playing anyone you want. And then the chat box is still there. So comment. We want to stay, connected with the people that are our chatters. So, say things. I'll look at it during the day, but just realize that we are getting your communications and you might not see a reply, but somehow or another we'll figure out hopefully how we can do at least, once in a while live shows so that we can just continue that amazing group of people on the chat. So I guess we're going to end this show. Like I said, it was April 29th that we recorded it. And thank you all for being here and listening to us. I hope you continue with us. I think that we'll get better at a lot of things, maybe videos and, recordings and that sort of thing. But we're working on it. Thank you for being here. Be safe, and we'll see you next time.
You have been listening to the Shungite Radio Show, produced by Cosmic Reality Radio. Thank you for being here. Be safe.